There's a story about four brothers who left home for college. And they all became successful doctors and lawyers, and they prospered. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together, and they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. First one said, "I had a big house built for Mama." The second said, "I had this amazing theater built in the house for her." Third one said, "You know, I had my Mercedes dealer deliver a brand new car to Mom." And the fourth said, "You know how much Mama loved to read the Bible. And you know, she can't read anymore because she can't see very well. Well, I met a preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers 12 years to teach him. And I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for the next 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot will recite that verse." Well, the other brothers were very impressed, and after the holiday, Mom sent out her thank you notes, and she wrote, "Milton, this house that you built is so huge, I live only in one room, but I have to clean the whole thing, but it was a nice thought anyway." And she said, "Marvin, I'm too old to travel. I stay home, I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes, but it is beautiful. Thanks. Michael, you gave me this expensive theater, and it can hold 20 people, but all my friends are dead, and I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you." Well, most Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving today, of course. 100 million turkeys made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can stuff ourselves this afternoon. Still, Thanksgiving in its own way is a difficult holiday. True Thanksgiving in our society is getting to be a rare commodity. No wonder some people prefer to call today Turkey Day. Authentic feelings of gratitude and appreciation are more rare than ever. I think there are basically two kinds of people: those who have a sense of gratitude and those who have a sense of entitlement. For those who live out of gratitude, nothing is taken for granted. Everything is a gift. For those who live out of a sense of entitlement, everything is taken for granted. Nothing is truly appreciated, since we feel that we are entitled to everything we have and more. In our affluent land, feelings of entitlement probably far outnumber those feelings of gratitude. If you are or were a country music fan, you may remember a singer-songwriter named Jimmy Dean. Some of you may have had his sausage. Well, Jimmy Dean co-wrote a song that reflects a feeling of gratitude. It's called "Drinking from My Saucer." And a part of one of the verses goes like this: "So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." Now those sentiments to me are right on. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. That's gratitude. Thank you, Lord. My life has been tough, but the good times outnumber the bad, and I'm grateful. The person with a sense of gratitude understands that they're not the center of the universe. When something good happens to them, it's a gift to be treasured and for which to be profoundly grateful. The person with this understanding of life is grateful for their health, for their family, for their faith, for the people they meet each day. Life is a gift, and they are so, so thankful. On the other hand, there are some people who look at life like this. Everything ought to go my way. I'm entitled. I'm smart. I'm attractive. I'm wealthy. I'm entitled for all the traffic lights to be green when I drive into work. I'm entitled to the maximum paycheck possible for somebody as wonderful as I am. I'm entitled to get my own way at work, at home, in relationships. I'm entitled. And you know, I run across people who really feel like that. So when they hit a bump in the road, when life gets hard and circumstances turn against them, then they sulk and pout and make themselves and everybody around them miserable. A sense of entitlement. Now, which attitude characterizes you? A sense of gratitude or a sense of entitlement or maybe like me, a mixture of both? In the story of Jesus and the 10 men with leprosy, only one returned to give thanks. 1 in 10 who truly lived out of a sense of gratitude. The rest of us live somewhere in between. There was a story told by a missionary of leading a worship service at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. And he opened up the service with song requests, and a woman, terribly disfigured from the disease and obviously in pain, requested the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." As the worshipers of this fellowship community sang enthusiastically, the missionary bowed his head and remained silent. He was too overcome with emotion to join them. A friend of his remarked, "I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song again." The missionary answered, "No, I'll sing it, just never in the same way." A sense of gratitude or a sense of entitlement? Maybe some of us who think we're living out of a sense of gratitude want to rethink our answer sometimes. One pastor tells of reading excerpts from the diary of a young husband whose wife was gravely ill. Doctors couldn't assure him that she would survive the night. In the diary, the young man expresses his profound faith in God and God's plan for their lives. He writes, "She may die before morning, but I have been with her for 4 beautiful years. There's no way I could feel cheated if I did not have her for another day. I never deserved her for a single moment. God knows that. And I may die before morning. What I must do now is accept the justice of death and the injustice of life. What did I do to deserve birth? It was purely a gift, and I am me, and that's a miracle. I have no right to a single moment, yet I've had 32 years. But wait," the entry ends, "I am being given another day. Another day to live and read and smell and walk in glory. I'm alive for another day. And she is alive. It is a gift. Another gift. Thanks be to God." I wonder, would you have written such words of gratitude in your diary under those circumstances? Or would we be gritting our teeth and cursing God for our loss? One more thought. When are you most thankful to God? When do you praise God in spirit and in truth? When the stock market is up, when the Packers are on a winning streak, when your family's safe at home? Here's what we need to see. The happiest people on this planet are those who live with a sense of gratitude. Giving thanks isn't a duty, it's the key to joy. Author Sarah Breathnick, whose book Simple Abundance praises the virtue of a grateful attitude, was once, in her own words, an angry, envious, workaholic, and perfectionist who compared herself to others and resented what seemed to be missing. Finally, one day, Sarah got sick and tired of being sick and tired. She realized that she had been focusing on what's wrong in her life, not what was right. So she sat down and she recorded everything she had to be grateful for, and she ended up with a list of 150 blessings and a changed outlook on life. That day she began the habit of keeping a gratitude journal, and she never ends a day without recording at least 4 or 5 new things for which she was grateful. She credits her gratitude journal with changing her whole approach to life, and today she considers herself to be a contented woman. This gratitude journal also became the seed of her best-selling book. Does that make sense to you? Most of us, I think, have an upside-down view of life. We think to ourselves, well, if something wonderful, something terrific happens to me, then I'll feel grateful. But such gratefulness, such gratitude is a fleeting emotion. Gone as soon as life has one of its downturns, as life inevitably does have. The secret is to commit yourself to a sense of gratitude, regardless of what happens. Then you'll be able to find joy in the most humdrum and sometimes even the most painful of experiences. The lesson that Barry read from John's Gospel is, as he said, just after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Jesus withdrew from the crowds and went to the other side of the lake. Crowds followed after, and here was a man that could fill their stomachs. And they liked that. But that's not what Jesus was after. He wanted them to seek that spiritual bread, not physical. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. They asked him, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert." Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the bread, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." I think the ultimate Thanksgiving feast is to partake of the bread of life freely given to us. We who were not entitled to anything were given the greatest gift of all, the gift of God's love and the grace. In Jesus Christ, we receive the bread of life freely given. And when we center our lives on that gift of love, we drop all those feelings of entitlement. And we see life and everything in our lives as a gift from God. Remember that today as you celebrate with your loved ones. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.